start changing things. But the reality is that I'm not sure. Flores just kept playing him. He definitely stuck with him. I don't think that's the wrong decision, but maybe there was disagreements there as well on who they wanted moving forward. Maybe they can change a couple things with the running game as well. I think they can maybe add some running back pieces, but aside from that, I think it's mostly quarterback and just not getting to the playoffs. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, honestly, my thoughts is that believe it or not, media have talked about this to death at this point, but that the Browns might be the team that actually benefits from all this craziness. We knew Flores at some point probably wanted to bring in Watson. A lot of that was talked about. With him gone, this might actually benefit. Maybe not the Browns, but somebody's going to get Watson now, and it's probably not going to be the Dolphins. I was a little bit surprised, but when you look at 3 years into a coaching tenure, year three should not start off 1-7. So, hey, it's great that they played for him. They didn't give up. All those good things happen. But at the end of the day, when you're in that third year, you cannot start off 1-7. That should be the year, really, where everything's flowing. I always give everything, you know, kind of a three-year plan, to be honest with you. You know, with year one being, you know, getting your feet wet, figuring out what personnel you're going to keep, installing the playbooks, year two into that. And then by the time you get to year three, that is definitely when you want to try to compete for a division. So definitely we will see what happens there. Now,
And also, Vince, we will see Flores get a head coaching job in somewhere else very soon. The pieces are there, the potential's there. So somebody will snatch him up. Maybe it's not a fit with the Dolphins. Maybe they didn't want to roll with him. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears make a run for him. We see a couple other places go for Flores. I think he won't be on the market for too long.
We'll see. You know, and it's rare that you see a head coach go from NFL head coaching job to another NFL head coaching job. It does happen, but I think it's rare. We'll see. I mean, again, you look at the openings now. I mean, clearly to me, not a shock at all today with Joe Judge and the Giants. It's weird that was a day apart. Perhaps Gettleman didn't want to fire him, and that's why he quit. I mean, that entire situation to me doesn't make a lot of sense. So, but we have some good, to me, exciting matchups, right? Because I looked at all six of these games, Cole, and I can make a case for all six home teams to win, and that I think that's honestly where, well, I know because I already wrote them down. So it's very difficult to say anybody's a clear favorite in this, like a clear-cut favorite, I should say. There's one game that I feel extremely strong about, possibly two. And there's like four that could go either way, but should lean a certain way. So, you know, here we are on Skype for the first night going through YouTube. And at the very least, the audio is coming in loud and clear, you know, and we'll see the video when we get off. Who knows? But Las Vegas and Cincinnati, this is where it all begins. I'll let you bat lead off here. Hey, tell me what you think.
Well, first of all, I mean, I think we all really wish, aside from maybe two groups of people, we all really wish that the Raiders and the Chargers just tied, they both got into the playoffs, and we didn't have to see the Steelers. There are only two groups of people that didn't want to see the Chargers and the Raiders tie, and they wanted the Steelers to get in. Steelers fans in San Diego, people who are still mad that the Chargers left and went to Los Angeles. That's it. Everybody else wanted to see both of these teams in the playoffs. And the reality is the Chargers, we've talked about it. Is the defense super strong? No, they give up points, but they can make things happen at times. You have Joey Bosa. I like Kenneth Murray at linebacker. I think he's all over the field. He's fantastic. Derwin James. And then you have Chris Harris, the corner, playing the nickel. And I think those four guys are just good enough to make plays happen here or there. And the rest of the group is good enough to occasionally make stops. But they're going to give up points. I mean, that is an issue with the Chargers, is they need to shore up the defense a little bit going into next year, because that offense is in a really good place. The offensive line's good. They have the wide receiver weapons. You have good running backs. And mainly Herbert is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL at the moment. I mean, he has been absolutely on fire, lighting it up, looks calm, cool, collected back there. He can do it all. So you had a team that could have really snuck up on some of those top AFC teams that maybe could have made a run by putting up points. I don't think the Raiders can nearly make as much of a run, make as much noise in the postseason as what the Chargers could. I like Derek Carr. I like the Raiders. They've been through a lot. this year with adversity, but I just don't think they have enough firepower to put up the points necessary if they get into a shootout with some of these teams with these really electric, talented quarterbacks. Derek Carr's good. He's just not on the same level at the moment of Joe Burrow, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, all those guys. So they're going to have to play lights out. You see the Raiders in here against the Bengals, against Joe Burrow. And I do think this. I think the Bengals, they got fortunate. If Pittsburgh had a good quarterback this year, and if that offensive line was shored up and not quite as young, the Steelers, again, would have been stronger than what they are this year. The Browns, if Baker was reading the field well and he played better and he wasn't injured and the Browns didn't have a slew of injuries throughout the season, they could have played better. The Ravens, if Lamar Jackson wasn't injured, they could have played better. I think all three of those teams could have played better and we wouldn't see the Bengals in this position. They almost had the perfect storm of all three of their division rivals have some issues. Their offense was humming. Their defense, honestly, middle of the pack, pretty average. But they're good enough on offense with Joe Burrow, and they're good enough with those wide receiver weapons and with Joe Mixon to be able to get to the point that they're at. The offensive line's still not that great. Joe Burrow still gets sacked more than really any other quarterback in the league. But I think that they're good enough here against this Raiders team. If it was the Chargers, I would probably be leaning towards the Chargers here. But it's the Raiders in this game. And because it's the Raiders, I just don't think they can quite compete with the Bengals here with Cincinnati at home. I think they get it done. You have the Raiders, who are a dome team now, going into some expected cold weather likely this upcoming weekend. So I'm going to say that the Bengals get it done on Saturday. They get a playoff win, and they advance. Not going to say that they're going to win at all, but I do think they get past Las Vegas.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think really – when we look at how that West, first of all, how the West turned out, definitely not how I saw it per se. I think, especially if you were to go back even a few weeks ago, it seemed clear that it was going to be a race between the Chargers all the way to the end, the Chargers and the Chiefs there. So to me, that was a bit of a surprise that did not occur that closely. A bigger surprise, as we said, that the Chargers dropped off as far as they did the final couple of weeks as well. And again, being what it is, Cincinnati on paper should blow the Raiders out. But if you look back at the season, the Raiders have won some games that really just make me scratch my head. If you go all the way back to like week one, they beat the Ravens in overtime. So they've had a fluky kind of overtime luck, but still, how much longer can they keep this ball rolling? As long, as much as I love Derek Carr, and I do, I think I see it finally ending this particular weekend against Cincinnati. I'm going to go with the Bengals. It's going to be fun to watch Joe Burrow in the playoffs. It's cool that we get to see it actually in the second year that he's here. I mean, I didn't see that coming, so that's awesome that it's happening this quick. Here we are in the AFC North. I know a lot of Browns fans would hate that fact, but it's kind of neat. Again, all that being said, though, as a sports fan, though, I just have to say on a side note, watching that game Sunday night was the most fun I think I've ever had. My wife always goes to bed unless the Browns are playing. And I'm always up, and I always watch Sunday Night Football by myself. It gets into the late hours, 10:30, 11 o'clock sometimes, 11:30. And she's up there screaming at the TV too with me. And we were just having a blast watching that. How great would that have been? You had the Raiders calling dive plays. literally dive plays, trying to get the clock to run out. And then for whatever reason, keep saying San Diego, but the Chargers call that timeout, and just unbelievable. So I don't think, as long as I've lived, I'll be 40 on Friday, I've ever seen a situation like that before. Just wild, absolutely wild. Probably won't see it again. But yeah, I mean, really, that timeout blew everything, because a tie would have been the greatest story to write the next day for everybody involved. But so definitely going to go with Cincinnati. Now, Cole, I guess as we usually do, we kind of rubber band back and forth here, so this next one's on me. New England at Buffalo. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I think Buffalo finally figured something out when it came to New England. The only time they lost to them, I think in the last two seasons, was that game on Monday night when it's 10 degrees outside. And we all know the story. New England ran the ball three times. I think we're finally now, these last couple of weeks, starting to see a little bit of a chink in the armor of Mac Jones as well. Mac Jones has not looked nearly as good as he did during that win streak that they were on. He's starting to show some of that rookie rust. I think this, as good as Bill Belichick is, I think this should be the week. We also have the passing of the torch. But I can't imagine Josh Allen losing in the first round of the playoffs. He's too good. We know we talk about Buffalo's running game. We talked a lot about it last week. They don't have that running game like we like to see out of them. But again, all that aside, going to go with Buffalo on this one.
Well, I think you're right. We're both on the same page with each other here. A lot of people out there are thinking Patriots again because we saw this game in Buffalo earlier in the year. You talked about it. It was like 10 degrees outside. It was windy, and it was snowy. And Buffalo's defense, which is a good defense and has been very good all year, the time they struggled the most was against the run against the Patriots. Patriots just were able to run the ball. Mac Jones had to pass it, what, two times that entire game? And the Patriots won that. And the Bills, their weakness, like we talked about, their coaching is great. Their defense is great. Great quarterback, good offensive line, excellent receiving weapons. Where's their weakness? Their run game, their offensive line, even though it's good and protects Josh Allen, it hasn't been great at opening up holes, and they just don't have the running backs that if there's not a hole, they can't create something themselves. They're still searching for a star running back there. Singletary started to step up. Breida's had some success at times, but those aren't really the guys. You're going to have to see the Buffalo Bills here in the next couple of years continue to search for their go-to running back to partner with Josh Allen in the backfield. But this game's going to be different. They're not expecting a ton of wind. They're not expecting snow. That was the main problem. The Bills couldn't go to the air that last time because of how the weather was. It's supposed to be even colder this time. It's going to be about, I think they were calling about 1 degree, honestly. I think it's about 1 degree, if not sitting at zero, is their forecast come this weekend. But with just a slight breeze of maybe 5 miles per hour or so, wind chill is supposed to be around -5, -6, somewhere in that range. Because of that, it's going to be cold, let's face it. But both of these teams are going to have to deal with the cold. But when it's cold, that doesn't necessarily change being able to go to the air. As long as there's not that severe wind and snow, Josh Allen will be able to air it out. Mac Jones will pass the ball more. You'll see the air attack come to play more this time. So you're going to see the Bills prepared to stop the run, and you're going to see the Bills able to air it out. And because of that, ball's going to be in Josh Allen's hands more. I trust him. I still expect a low-scoring game because of the cold. I got the Bills 17-14, but I think you're right. As much as the Patriots on the road are going to put up a fight, I think Mac Jones is going to struggle a little bit in his first playoff action, especially in the cold. Bill Belichick, he's a defensive-minded coach. They're going to do what they can do to shut down Josh Allen. I don't think it'll be enough. The Bills have seen this already. Losing that game earlier in the season in similar conditions helped them out, and it's going to be an advantage. So we're both on the same page with Buffalo.
All right, and then that would lead us to, I got to say this, then the Saturday Night Spectacular, I guess. Philadelphia at Tampa Bay. I'll allow you to make this first pick as we're kind of, like I said, rubber banded back and forth. But it amazes me the luck Tom Brady has. Even in games he's not playing in, there was a call at the end of that game with, I was going to say again, St. Louis, Joel Mage again. But the Rams and whoever they were playing that they lost to, that neither of us picked, San Francisco. And it benefited San Francisco, and it was kind of a wonky call, but they were in a situation if the Rams lost that game, Tampa Bay would get an easier first-round game against Philadelphia. So, again, it just blows my mind that even games where Tom Brady is not even in the state or the time zone, things happen to benefit him and whatever team he's playing for.
It just happened again. It just seems to happen. It usually happens unless he's playing against Eli Manning and the Giants. That's about it. That's the only thing that stops him.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but no, one of those things where we talked about it, the AFC had so much parity. There's so much parity in the league this year, not knowing who's actually that front runner team, who's actually going to be able to win it. But the AFC just provided us a slew of teams that we didn't know who would get in. The NFC was not that way. Put this Eagles team in the AFC this year, they're not in the playoffs. They're probably sitting with more of a record of, I would honestly guess it would probably be closer to 7-10 or so.
I'd say 5-12, 6-11.
Right. That would be my guess. So, but they're in the NFC, which is weaker this year. Things have changed over on that side. You look at the powers there. It was Dallas, Green Bay, Tampa Bay. I mean, those were a couple of the main ones. And then you had the NFC West. And that was pretty much what you saw controlling that. The Eagles got to be one of the fortunate teams that snuck in here. And they made it in, but they've got a tough game up against the Buccaneers. Jalen Hurts, I think he's going to be running for his life a little bit. I think that defense is going to be getting after the offense of the Eagles. Again, Tom Brady, he has the experience. I don't think this one's going to be close. I think this might be the biggest blowout of the weekend when it comes to any of these games. I'd like to see the Eagles pull it close, but I don't think there's going to be any Philly special here against the Buccaneers. Of course, Tom knows the Philly special well when he was with the Patriots, but I just don't think it's going to happen down in Tampa. I've got the Buccaneers rolling pretty easy.
I agree completely in this one. I think that defense is going to cause havoc for Jalen Hurts, his first playoff game. And I also agree with you as well. Philadelphia, to me, you know, and we're going to get to this another team here in a minute, but there's two teams in the playoffs that I didn't see come. Actually, three. Now, we talked about Las Vegas in the beginning of the season before all holy hell broke loose, right?
Right.
But once stuff started falling apart on them, if you would have, again, even as I'd say as recently as about 3 weeks ago, if you would have said, name me three teams that aren't going to make the playoffs, Las Vegas, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia. And here we are, all three of them are in.
Right.
And clearly we're going to talk about Pittsburgh in a bit, but still, I don't think Philadelphia has a chance in this game. I just don't. I don't even think they're that talented. The fact that they won as many games as they did, I'm stunned by that. But I think the luck runs out this weekend. So far, Cole, we are definitely 3-for-3 picking all three home teams. You know, similarity there. You kind of summed it up. I don't have a ton to expound on that. I mean, I don't think Antonio Brown's going to make that much of a difference, him not being there. He's definitely, to me, not the reason why they won the Super Bowl last year. So you look at that, and, you know, breaking down the rest of the NFC, it is kind of tight at the top there. They are top-heavy, as we've said, where, again, the AFC was, you know, 8, 9, 10 teams deep. I didn't think the Browns were that darn bad, and they won 8 games. So you look at all that. But, you know, it's kind of moving on from there, though. You know, we always talk about it. We talk about old-school rivalries, you know, ones I love. A few weeks ago, we were talking about the Washington football team's jerseys and how I used to love, you know, those jerseys and then the rivalry with Dallas. But the other big rivalry for me growing up watching sports, not as much as it is today, but it used to be huge in the 90s, San Francisco and Dallas. And you look at those Super Bowls, it's back and forth between the two teams. They combined to win four in a long 4-year stretch. Dallas won two in a row, Frisco won one, Dallas won another. And that was really kind of on the cusp right after the dynasty that the Niners had in the 80s, right? So, you know, it's just such a rich history between these two teams when you go back and look at it. You know, Norton played for both teams. Deion Sanders played for both teams. So much fun. That being said, I have no clue who's going to win this game. I kind of flipped a coin. I'm going to go with Dallas. I don't know what it is. They always seem to lose at home in foreign games, but this one they should be able to win at home. But San Francisco, I'll tell you what, the 49ers are not a team I would put any money on this year. I want to bet against them, and I want to put money on them. You never know what they're going to do. Dallas should win this game. There's nothing that should stop them. But if they lose, I'm telling you, I would not be shocked one bit. I'm like, okay, that's par for the course. You know, because San Francisco, again, has that defense that could change a game in an eyelash. And for whatever reason, like we talked about, the more Jimmy G hands the ball off, the better chance they have to win on offense as well. So I'm excited to hear your pick on this one. This is a game I'm gonna love to watch as a fan, but as someone who tries to pick football games every week, I hate games like this because it's just too difficult. I'm gonna go with Dallas though.
I think this is the must-watch game of the wild card round. I think it is the best matchup of any team. Really, we look at the 49ers again. They called that they were gonna sweep the Rams. They got it done. You and I didn't think they were gonna sweep the Rams, but they did it. I thought going into the season they were going to win that division, at minimum make the playoffs. And again, the three teams from the NFC West that we thought were going to make the playoffs did. And it just goes to show how tough that division was. The NFC in general as a conference, it didn't do nearly as much as the AFC. Honestly, it wasn't televised nearly as much on the national games that they would show just because of how crazy the AFC was. But the NFC West has provided a lot this year. And that's been a fun thing to witness over there. So you have this 49ers team coming in. And I thought Trey Lance did fine when he stepped in for Jimmy G. But Jimmy G's the guy right now. I know people say this. They all think about the upside and the athleticism of Trey Lance. There's plenty of upside. But Jimmy G's still the better quarterback right now. Again, he's smart. He gets it done. He's a pretty accurate guy. Is he the most mobile, nearly as athletic as Trey Lance? No, he's not. But he gets the job done for what San Francisco needs. They like to run the ball. They want to get the ball to Deebo Samuel. They want to get it to George Kittle. He does all those things well. So just having that experience, this smart mind that he has, and he doesn't really run his mouth. He just goes out there and plays football, and I think that's perfect for them. They're not going to put up 40 points. That's just not who they are. They're more of a defensive team. But they're a tough defense up front in that front seven. Now you look at Dallas on the other side. Everybody thinks about Dallas. They're at home. They haven't done well in the playoffs. Even when they've gone through stretches of, this is a really good team, everybody thinks they're going to make it to the Super Bowl out first round. It's been a constant thing for Dallas for years now. Talked about the old history, but it just hasn't been that way. Tony Romo, I mean, he couldn't get anything done. I mean, Dak Prescott hasn't been able to do anything. So they've gone through a long stretch of struggling getting things done in the playoffs. But Dallas this year, they give up points on defense. But Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, those guys, they're good at getting to the ball, forcing turnovers, and Dallas makes something happen. Can they force turnovers? That's going to be the key. If they can, they'll likely win this game. But in all reality, I just think that the 49ers are so up and down, but that front seven on defense is tough, and I expect Nick Bosa to show up and really make something happen. And I expect the 49ers to show up and play hard. And in a close game, knowing the history of Dallas and how they play in the playoffs, I'm going with the 49ers. I think it's going to be close. It's going to be good. I've got it at 24-22, only 2 points. But I really think that the San Francisco 49ers can go into Dallas, get the job done, and then we're still talking about the same thing with Dallas. How does this talented team just not get past the first round of the playoffs? And I think the same thing will continue to be talked about. Dallas fans will hope that's not the case, but I really, really, if I had to put my money on a team, I would say San Francisco in this one.
There's two road teams playing this weekend that if somebody said, make me a case that absolutely positively two road teams are going to win their games, and you had to do it, San Francisco is definitely one of them. Arizona is another one. We'll get to them in a bit. But, yeah, I completely agree that until Dallas does it, they're so hard to bet on and they're so hard to believe in. They've always, you know, there's an old saying, right? All fluff but no stuff. So you really need to bring it, especially in the playoffs. And for the longest time, the Cowboys have been all fluff and no stuff. So they need to not only win this weekend, but they need to blow San Francisco out, which, again, I don't think they're going to do. But for people to finally, like, okay, we're all in with Dallas, you know, until they start doing that. I like everything about them. I really do. Their defense, to me, still is a little shaky. But, again, going to double down on the Cowboys in that one. But to me, like I said, there was two games where I was like, you know what, the away team – very honestly, could and should win. So, going to have some fun there. That's going to be a fun one to watch with us. That's a split. Got a pretty good idea where you're leaning towards this next one. It almost didn't happen. And like we said, it would have been the greatest thing of all time. No offense to Steelers fans out there. Pittsburgh at Kansas City.
I think as Browns fans, we mean all the offense to Steelers fans out there. But no, in all reality, for the Steelers fans out there, even though this team is not that good, and I think they know it's not that good this year, their defense got them to this point. And some luck with how the AFC shaped up and how it ended at the very end of the season, they got a ton of help from – they can thank Jacksonville, and they can thank Brandon Staley of the Chargers for calling that timeout. all those things and just getting it done against the Ravens led them to this point. So even though Steelers fans know they're up against it, I think they're thankful just to see Big Ben in the playoffs one final time. You know, it's the going out tour for him. So I think they're just going to be happy to see him in the playoffs one last time. Of course, they'd love to win this game, but you're going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. I think everybody knows what to expect here from the Chiefs. You got Andy Reid. You have Mahomes. You got an explosive offense. Can you stop Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill? Probably not. Even with the good defense that you have, I just don't know if they can stop all those weapons. The Chiefs' defense has been shaky, but it's gotten better as the season's gone on. They've continued to improve. I think they've taken strides in the right direction. Because of that, I just don't think the Steelers' offense will be able to put up enough points. I don't have them scoring too much in this one. I think this one will be a bit of a rout, and that offense of the Chiefs will take over. But for the Steelers, again, they get one last go-around for Big Ben, and that puts a wrap on his career.
I agree with you with the Chiefs. But my question to you is this. Are the number one seed Tennessee Titans better than Kansas City this year? Are they a true number one?
No. I mean, the Titans are not a true number one. You and I have talked about this. The only possible way they become even somewhat a one or a two in all reality is if Derrick Henry, with him coming back, if he is full go and he looks like the Derrick Henry before the injury, because, you know, coming off of the IR here, this is a quick turnaround, this is a quick recovery. Are they pushing it so early that he's not going to be 100%? I mean, I'll take a Derrick Henry at 80 or 90%, but Derrick Henry at 80 or 90% versus Derrick Henry at they're pushing it and he's like 60 or 70%. But he's saying he wants to go. They know they're better with him. I don't know what the percentage is. We really don't know, and we won't know until we see them step onto that field. If Derrick Henry can take over the game, that offense changes because then you have to load the box and stack the box because it is hard for guys to come up from the secondary. It's even tough for linebackers to tackle Derrick Henry. So you'll have to load the box, and then that gets – A.J. Brown and some of your wide receivers in one-on-one situations, so which opens it up for Ryan Tannehill, who's a competent quarterback. It will change the entire offense. Their defense hasn't been wonderful this year. It hasn't been as good as the Titans' defense the year prior. It just hasn't been that great. And honestly, Bud Dupree, again, he's had his issues here now as of late as well. Again, we'll see what happens there, but I just don't think they've been able to get the pressure. It's really Jeffrey Simmons or bust up front at their defensive tackle position on defense for the Titans. So it's all dependent upon Derrick Henry. I don't think they're a true number one. They're absolutely not one without Derrick Henry and him being at full health. If he's close to full health, maybe you can start talking about it, but I think you and I can both agree, even if they would be a number one and there'd be like a 1A, 1B, 1C with some of those teams, I think I would take those couple others to make it to the Super Bowl before the Titans. I mean, I just trust Mahomes and Josh Allen and some of those other guys to get there before Ryan Tannehill and that group.
Me too, and ironically enough, I mean, I look at that and I think to myself, first of all, as we're breaking down Kansas City and Pittsburgh, it hits me like a bolt of lightning, like, wait a second, they weren't the number one seed. Like, I forgot for a few seconds. And then he saw me kind of gazing north at home, and I'm like, oh yeah, it was Tennessee. You know, yep. And it just amazed me in that aspect. And, you know, people might think I'm crazy, but probably not. I actually think the best team in the AFC is the third seed. And yep. I can make a strong case for the second best team, quite frankly, being Cincinnati. They showed you that. They beat Kansas City a few weeks ago. Like,
yep.
It's Kansas City to me, this is the most, I have no idea why, but like, this is the most fragile they've ever been, I think, during this Mahomes stretch, right?
Correct.
You go back to the year where he lit it up and threw all those touchdown passes, and they lost to the Patriots. They lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. They've been to two straight Super Bowls since. But yeah, this is, to me, this is like the shakiest I've seen Kansas City. Now I agree with you. I think they're gonna be Pittsburgh. You know, I don't doubt that for a second. This should be a Big Ben swan song. I get a weird feeling like it's not gonna be. I just don't see him retiring yet. I don't know what it is, but I see him coming back for another year. I hope not. I'm still sick of that dude, but
I think he's done. I think he's done.
I can't take much more.
I think you're just getting paranoid because there have been so many moments in the last couple years we thought he'd be done. In all reality, here's the thing. He hasn't had anything in the tank for a couple years. It's been led by that defense. The offensive line was much better 3-4 years ago than what it has been the last couple years. They're taking strides in the right direction, but it's not the same team, so you can't mask his faults as much. I mean, for me, I'd love to see Big Ben come back. For the sole fact of
so he
their
be
offense is worse.
More times?
No, because that offense is worse with him. And if the Browns actually get it clicking on offense and they get things settled, they'll be better off. Because let's put it this way. We can actually stick really any guy. Let's say in the draft they pick up Kenny Pickett or they get an Aaron Rodgers. They get somebody else. That's better than Big Ben right now. We all know that. So anything to hurt the Steelers would be entertaining to me, and Big Ben staying there would be entertaining. But I think he's done. I think he's smart enough to know that his time's over. I mean, I think there's that picture of him, that viral picture where he had all the ice bags on him. Like, his whole body is covered in those ice bags as he's walking out from practice. So I think that's pretty much what his career's been the last couple of years. He's been beat up, banged up, and I think he's ready to be done.
Yeah, we'll see. It would be nice. I'm so sick and tired of watching that guy beat the Browns. It's been going on for eons. So, yeah, it would be good. And like you said, I think that'd be a cool story. I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be kind of cool story to see Kenny Pickett go there. I mean, you almost never see the local guy go, but that'd be pretty cool. So, we are 5-6. This one, to me, is a coin toss. My goodness. Well, first of all, I want to point something out. We talked about it, you know, with San Francisco beating the Rams last week and sweeping them on the season series. They've done that 2 years in a row now.
Yeah.
Even last year when the Niners were like lousy, they beat the Rams twice. They just have their number.
They do.
If I'm the Rams, I don't want to match up against them in the playoffs. No way, no how. Because there's something that Shanahan knows. Clearly.
I don't know. Yeah, Shanahan's got some good game plan, and the Rams haven't been able to adjust. And Shanahan's had the better of McVay.
So here's the thing, though. Speaking of McVay, he's still one of my favorite coaches. And this, to me, was a coin toss, a legit coin toss, right? So every time something's close, I break down the quarterbacks and I break down the coaches, and I ask myself, for the playoffs, I ask myself, okay, who's been there before, who hasn't? Now, here's the thing, right? If I was starting an NFL franchise tomorrow, and somebody said, who do you want to be your quarterback, Kyler Murray or Stafford, I'm going to pick Murray in a heartbeat. I like the Cardinals. I've liked them all season long. I've picked them numerous times. I think I'm 1-4 picking the Cardinals in the last 5 weeks, right? I've been loyal to them, but they keep stinging me. Where the Rams, ironically enough, when I picked them, they seem to win. It's the opposite trend. I picked them this week, they lost to the 49ers. But I went back and did some research, and almost every time I pick the Rams, they win. So I'm going to go with them one more time. I believe in playing streaks, flipping coins, all that good stuff. And seriously, playing some streaks. Stafford's been in the playoffs before once with Detroit. Maybe twice, but I know at least once he was there. So a smidge of experience. Obviously, you know, Sean McVay's been to a Super Bowl. They've been to the playoffs. They know what they're doing with him. I'm going to go with him. And plus, last year, they beat Seattle in opening weekend of the playoffs. So on the road when they were the underdog. I don't know how far any of these teams are going to go in the NFC. To me, it really is a crapshoot in that conference. It just is.
It is.
Anybody can win. I mean, Green Bay should. You would think, right? Me and you are sitting in Vegas, which we're not. We're in our homes. But we're in Vegas, and so it says, okay, Vince McKee, I'm going to give you a $1,000 house bet. You have to put on one team to win the Super Bowl out of the, 14 that are there?
Right.
I'm gonna put it on Green Bay in a heartbeat and Aaron Rodgers.
Still,
with the way the season's going, who really knows? This game sums all that up for me. And I probably, right now, breaking down this game, I think I sound worse than Derek Carr, trying to fumble over the fact that he admitted they were trying to go for the tie at the end of the game, which, by the way, go back and listen to that because it's hysterical. Long story short, going with the Rams.
Yeah, no, if you go to Vegas in the NFC, I think you're going discount double check all day if you have to put your money down on the Packers. So I think they need to bring back discount double check. I miss that. I loved when he'd score a touchdown and he'd make the belt motion. That was always fun. So, but we'll see. Again, the Packers have the weekend off, get to rest. They're definitely the favorite on that side. But this one's interesting between the Rams and the Cardinals. But as much as I understand where you're coming from, Ben, some of these picks, I kind of think you're off your rocker right now. Is that all six home teams that you used to
pick? That's a first.
All six home teams.
Yeah, two years ago, before me and you were picking games. Was it? Yeah, 2 years ago, before me and you were picking games, if you go back and look, all four road, back when there was only four playoff games in the opening round, all four road teams won.
Right.
So this is the weekend where home teams usually lose. I couldn't pull the trigger. So I'm going 6-for-6 home teams. Yeah, I know it's quite shocking. Like I said, maybe I'm losing my mind. I turned 40 in a couple days. Gray hairs will prove it, as you guys can see on video. But yeah, it's one of those things. I like the Rams. I do, and it's like, well, they should be able to win at home. Like, that's the problem with me when it comes to picking games. It's shocking to me that I beat you last year and I'm up by 6 this year. Because 9 times out of 10, I'd probably pick with my heart when I shouldn't. But, like,
right.
I like Sean McVay, and I'd like to see Matt Stafford, who's been a lovable loser the last decade, like, get a playoff win. We'll see. One last point. So at the same time, I think to myself, okay, well, Kyler Murray's so young, he's going to be there another 5, 6 years, 7 years. Like, we'll have this opportunity. It's stupid reasoning, but I'm going with it anyways. All six home teams.
To me, this feels like that situation. Let me put it this way. This feels like the situation where you get your wife, or you have like female coworkers who fill out like a March Madness bracket. They know
colors.
Nothing. They go off of colors. They go off of mascots. They go off of things that have nothing to do with the game of basketball. And they beat your bracket after you did the research. You watched games all season. That's sometimes what I feel like when you're going with your heart here, Vince. It's like, well, I like this person. I like that person. And I'm taking a look at the strategy behind it. But, hey, you got me last year. Again, you got the lead. But I got to say, it's almost mathematically impossible, nearly mathematically impossible for all six home teams to win this week. I don't necessarily know what road teams are going to pull it off. It could be more than what we even think. But especially with adding two more games to this weekend, I think it makes it really tough. So I know you went with all six home teams. I went with four home teams and two road teams. Well, I mentioned one already. We're going to split here. I'm going with the Cardinals. Here's the thing. You stuck with the Cardinals. I've been against the Cardinals here as of late. I went with the Seahawks as my upset pick this last week. But Arizona was at home. For some reason, they've struggled at home. On the road, they started to pick it up. The reality here is this. These two teams split this season. So it's not like either team has the upper hand. Both pretty similar score-wise. Not a big difference between the scores. I think that both of these two, with splitting, and both I think actually are going to match up really well. With the Rams have been good at home. The Cardinals have been good on the road. I just think it's going to be a really good, interesting game. Why do I lean with the Cardinals here rather than the Rams? Because usually I'd be picking the Rams. I've been fairly loyal to the Rams. You and I both have all season. That's been one where we've hardly ever split on the Rams. But this game, I feel like the Cardinals will be able to take it over for a couple reasons. Matt Stafford, I like him a lot. It was great that he got out of Detroit. I'm really happy for him because it gave him an opportunity to actually get to the postseason and make a run. And he has a good team. They could make a run. If they get past the Cardinals, they actually might do it. We'll wait and see. But Stafford's been off the last couple weeks. He's thrown some bad interceptions. A couple pick sixes. I don't know what's going on with Stafford, what the deal is, but he's gotta turn it on. Again, he is a mid to upper tier quarterback. Again, he falls right in that range. Again, he's not top tier, but he's that upper part of that middle tier at the moment. He's a very good quarterback in the league, and you'd expect him to be playing better than he has. Again, I think back to that Ravens game just the other week. He did not look good. And hopefully for the Rams, he gets it turned around. But again, he seems like he's in a little bit of a slump, so I think that is a little bit concerning. You've got Kyler Murray on the other side of the ball. I think he's going to be able to play really well. I think he'll be successful. He'll use his legs maybe a little bit more than he did in the regular season. I think he'll still be able to air it out. And I really think that the Cardinals, since they're on the road, will be able to get it done. I was trying to figure out what road teams had the best chance. It's two NFC West teams. It's the Niners. It's the Cardinals. They have the best chances on the road of anybody out there coming into this week. And again, I'm going with Arizona, so we split here.
Well, like I said, if there was two road teams that you absolutely had to make a case for, I believe you chose the right team. We will see how it all turns out. Cole, before we go, you know, definitely a topic we've both discussed time and time again is the consistency issues with Baker Mayfield over the years. Mm-hmm. Kevin Stefanski, the Browns front office, seemed to believe that this year was all because of that injury and everything that was going on. They have already kind of put it out there that they will not be looking in the draft and or free agency. If you could kind of quickly, you know, sum it up, are they foolish not to even try?
Well, I don't buy it. Yeah, I don't buy it, realistically. What's Andrew Berry supposed to say to reporters? It's going to become a bigger story if he just says, no, Baker's not the guy, we're moving on. Baker's sensitive. What's going to happen? The press is going to take that story. They're going to run with it. Baker's going to get upset. And Baker upset, and if things fall through and you end up needing to have Baker next year, you got an upset Baker who's mad at you for what you said and the reporters who are running with the story, and we're going to have chaos come the 2022 regular season. You can't do that. Andrew Berry's a smart man. He knows what he needs to do. I think it's a little bit of a smokescreen. Is there some truth? Yes, but it is a little bit of a smokescreen. They're not going to pursue somebody in this draft. I don't think they're looking at this draft class at all. They might maybe later on take somebody just to be a younger guy and provide depth and offload Case Keenum's contract. But I don't think they're going to do anything that's drastic here. They're not going to go for a top prospect because they feel better with what they have with Baker, a healthy Baker, rather than this class, because this class is a little bit weaker than the year after. So if things don't go well with Baker this year, the draft class the year following, you could have guys like C.J. Stroud. And I know he's undersized, but Bryce Young's going to get attention. You've got a lot of guys who are going to start to get some notice from that class, and it's going to be a stronger class than the current one here now. So, no, the draft is out of the question, but free agency is not out of the question, and making moves isn't out of the question. I think Andrew Berry, even with saying that he's committed to Baker Mayfield, they'll still reach out about Aaron Rodgers. They're still going to reach out about Russell Wilson. Same with Deshaun Watson and likely Derek Carr. And maybe they'll put out some other feelers. But they're at least going to inquire. And if you strike out, then you come back to a healthy Baker and hope he's better next year. And if he's not better next year, then you make the move. And you maybe look to the draft. Or you come out and you actually make a really big trade. And you go all in. But this year, like I said, the draft is out of the equation. So he is not lying about that. He is right. But I know he's going to put feelers out. I'm sure they're going to inquire. If something's too good to pass up with a Deshaun Watson or somebody along those lines, I think they will offload Baker. But I think he did the right thing. He said we need to say, you know, keeping the fences mended, keeping that bridge, where if things fall through and they have to come back to Baker, which is most likely what will happen. I'm about 70% leaning that way. I think there's a 30% chance there's another quarterback. But that 70% chance is probably going to be Baker trying to get him healthy, have him come back. You don't want the reporters to run with the story and him get all hot about it, because, again, he's a very, very sensitive quarterback.
Well, thank you, Cole McDaniel, for your insight. Not only this week, but all season long, we've had a lot of fun doing this. As I break down the map in my head, it's a 6-point differential. If you catch up, you had two last week. You get two more this week. Two more weeks to get two and two. If you continue that, four straight weeks, that leads us to a Super Bowl in which we would be tied. That would be a ton of fun. Alright, that is going to do it for tonight though. Everybody at home, thank you for joining us our first week here on Skype and YouTube. We appreciate it. And as always, guys, everything we do brought to you by our sponsors. What a day it was for that. We can get to that on a later date. However, the big one tonight, Climate Tech Inc. It's freezing outside. I was just outside taking out the garbage before we started the show. It is cold. I don't know, 10 degrees or something crazy. Make sure your heater works, okay? Make sure that thing works. Call them, Climate Tech Inc. They're over at 7900 Root Road. Check them out online at climate-tech.inc. For the first time ever, for Cole McDaniel, as I point to him there. This is Vince McKee. We had a blast, and I could probably speak for Cole and say we will definitely be doing this again very soon. Everybody, stay warm.